Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Welcome to our beloved listeners to Walking Between the Worlds. Today is a very special show and something that is very dear to my heart. The return of the goddess and the advent of a time of miracles. And in this discussion we have a very special guest that I've known for some years, and he's from Toronto in Canada, and he's joined us to speak about the miracles that have happened. There were many prophecies given about this time when it is said that the average person will once again start to see, start to hear, that the veils between realms will become thin, that angels will be visible, that miraculous healings will once again take place. This is called the return of the goddess, the time of the feminine spirituality that is inclusive. And now I would like to introduce Brian Farnham, from Toronto, and he is our guest today. And Brian, welcome to the show. And do you agree with me that the miracles are abounding, my friend?
Well, you know, without a doubt, I mean, and first of all, I gotta say I love you.
Thank you.
And you know that we go back to the time, I think it was 8 years ago, where we met through a mutual friend. In reference to my son Michael, absolutely, it is true. We are in the age of miracles, and I'd like to share a story with your listeners about Michael.
Please.
As you know, back then I was an investment banker. I was busy traveling the world. I was involved in multi-billion-dollar projects, and I was trying to do something. I was trying to do something for the Philippines, trying to build a huge project, roads, highways, power plants. You know, we were busy trying to get that whole project together, only for me to walk away from the Philippines, from the project, because our son Michael, at the time, 4 years old, he's now 13, was diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer. And back then, you know, what was one to do? I'm an investment banker. I'm not really dabbling in the spiritual realm, and I'm trying to figure out what should I do. Of course, through a mutual friend, I was introduced to you, and I remember walking into the hotel room, firstly, tall as you know, I mean, you're very beautiful, and it was a beauty that I first noticed, because you don't see so much beauty every day. And that's what struck me. You had a bright white outfit on. I walked in with my wife. My son Michael was very skinny. He had been diagnosed with brain cancer. And he laid on the bed. You were doing some work with Michael. And then I started to remember, as you were doing the work, I had remembered that 2 years before Michael being diagnosed, that I had a dream that I was walking in the field with Christ, and I didn't pay any attention to the dream. I just ignored it. I didn't share the information with any of my friends. But when you looked at me and you said something along the lines, "My brother, you are a healer." And do you recall that, Elmi?
I do. Yes, I do.
Right, and I had no idea. What is Almeen talking to me that I'm a you know, I had no idea, because I was more concerned about trying to get my son completely cured of this cancer, which was a very rare form of cancer. There was only one case per year in Canada recorded, and it was brain cancer on the right side, and the doctors had very little understanding of this type of rare form of cancer, because, of course, they're not going to spend a lot of money in research on a cancer that is so rare.
Exactly.
And so we were at our limits, and the conventional medical community, you know, the problem with the conventional medical community is they will dictate what they believe is the correct protocol without even knowing what the correct protocol is. They're mostly guessing what the protocol is, particularly when it comes to cancer, because they don't have a clue. And I know this from experience, because they would say, okay, this is a protocol for Michael's chemotherapy, and he only went one round of chemotherapy. Why? Because I was afraid to lose my son, that they would bring Children's Aid into our home and take Michael away, then force him on 18 months of chemo along with 9 months of radiation. And so we worked this out very carefully. I went to God right away. I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't want to put Michael through chemotherapy. And I remember the first day when Michael was getting his IV. The IV was being hooked to his veins. And you know, I mean, I went outside the hall and I cried.
Oh, Brian.
And I said, my God, what is going on here? I cried. And I knew in my heart that this was wrong, that I was hurting my son. I knew this was not the way for Michael to be healed.
Yeah.
And I was in tears. And I remember it was about almost 21 days exactly. And this, mind you, he had the surgery. He had surgery, and he had the tumor removed from the right side of his head with perfect margin taken out, no problems, and he had no side effects. He was perfectly, his coordination was 100% perfect. But 21 days later, after he had his first round of chemo, which would have been within 10 days of the surgery, Michael lost all of his hair. And he's in the bathtub playing how kids play. And there was a loud scream. And he screamed to the top of his lungs. And I ran up the stairs to see what he was doing. And he said, Dad, my hair is falling out. I'm losing my hair. And it came out in big blogs, chunks. And I went, and I stood up and I said, Father, I can't take this anymore. This is wrong. They will not get me. They will not kill my son. Something like that.
I remember the little bald head with the big scar very, very well.
That's right. And I said, they will not take my son because they are not speaking the truth. For the most part, I knew that they didn't know what they were doing, and I knew that most of the people that go for cancer treatment today don't make it. I know that regardless of the stats that they give you, that's to give you the 1-year stat, the 2-year stat, the 3, they don't like to go beyond 3 years. They may go to 5, but they very rarely will they go on to 5 because most of the people die between the 5 and 10 years. And that's what I've been able to find. So a lot of the figures out there that they give to the public is very misleading. And I knew that because I did a lot of research. I researched. I knew that I had to do something. So I was still doing my international investment banking. And a good friend of mine, I called him over to the house. And I had to fly to England on a very important business meeting. And this was a Sunday. And I said to my good friend, I said, please, I need you to be with my wife. I need you to go on Monday morning. I'm going to be in London, England, but I will phone you from a phone booth. And I will check on you later on. But I need you to go down to the hospital for sick kids in Toronto, and I need you to be a witness, just a witness. That's all I want you to do. I need you to be a witness. But my wife will talk to the top oncologist and inform him that we're going to take our son out of treatment. We don't want our son to go for any further treatment. And I was praying. I mean, I was doing a lot of praying. And so what happened was my wife went down with our good friend, and there was one question that my wife had asked the top oncologist there, along with, I think, 2 other doctors. This was the question. What was the difference in outcome between a patient who has the same cancer as Michael if they were to elect to go to conventional medicine or they were to elect to go to alternative treatments? And they said there was no difference.
Oh, my goodness.
They said there was absolutely no difference in the outcome. And so my wife looked at the oncologist straight in the eye. And you're talking about these are people that have the authority to take your kid away from you through Children's Services when you don't abide by protocol of cancer treatment.
Yes, exactly.
And my wife looked at him square in the eye and said, so why would we put our son through such punishment? And that was that he had no answer. And we pulled our son right out of the hospital, and that was it. And then, of course, we turned to God, and we met you. And so we flew Michael out to meet with you, and boy, that was the first time he was on the airplane. And I remember that because he loved the airplane, and I mean, you know, I don't like to fly. You know, I've had a lot of almost near crashes with airplanes. You know, airplanes and I really don't get along together.
That's because you possibly mess with their engines with the gifts that you have, my friend.
And, you know, it's true because you know what? I will actually go, you have the same problem. I can go to the check-in counter and all of a sudden their computer's not working. It's down.
Yes, everywhere I go.
Okay, the computer's because the energy's coming off my body. So, and sometimes I will quickly, when I get aboard the plane, I want to go right quick past the cockpit. I don't want to shut down any of the instruments. And but the thing is, it was a long trip. We arrived at your beautiful home, and the whole idea was the fact that I had no expectations. I only knew that I was in good hands.
And Brian, could you hold one moment? We need a little commercial break.
Okay.
And we will be right back, and then you will tell our listeners what happened next.
Correct.
Thank you for joining us on Walking Between the Worlds.
Elmeen is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Elmeen as your Toltec guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Elmeen on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic and log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Elmeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the immortal master in addition to continued function among the masses. But as a Toltec, Nagua, and seer, Elmeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. It is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. These sacred messages came the true identity of mankind as light beacons of creation and the way shows back to the heart of God. Within this book, some of the mysteries of the cosmos that have plagued seers for eons have been solved for the first time. Never before in the history of any mystery schools have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the destiny of man. With every fiber of our beings and in the depth of our heart's truth,
no matter how profound, can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almeenspiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
From an ancient source of love and light, a goddess was born to banish the night, to awaken the magic that life brings out, drowning in hearts with a mystical spell. The long night is over, the dawn has begun, upon the earth the goddess has come. To turn the key that turns the page, and ends the darkness of the bygone age. Faun and elf and sylph the light, at the ending of a dark and faithless night. From every kingdom the news resounds, the goddess reigns, and joy abounds.
Between the Worlds with Al Mean. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Al Mean.
So we're welcoming back our guest, Brian Farnham from Toronto, and his experiences that he had with a four-year-old with severe brain cancer. Brian, please continue.
Thank you, Al Mean. And so, Michael, you know, we walk into your area where you do the healings, and the energy is, you know, God's there. You know, I've never had this experience. I'm in the room, don't know what to expect, because, you know, I'm a simple man. You know, I didn't go well far in school, high school education, but I was able to, through my hard Fort Knox street smarts, to be able to grow within and become an officer in the banking system and make something of myself, and then come out of the banking system and have my own company and have the street smarts on Wall Street to try to put things together. I mean, I had that the street smarts, but the banking was not for me. I knew it wasn't for me because I'm sitting watching Michael, and I knew this was not what I was supposed to be doing. I knew Michael was, something had to do with Michael getting sick for me to change my course of life. He's laying there on the table, and I remember this. I remember the beautiful music it was the Weavin', actually it was the Weavin' that was playing.
That's right.
And I love the Weavin', and Michael loves the Weavin'. Whenever he hears the Weavin', he remembers you right off the bat, him laying on the table. And I remember, 4 years old, skinny, he had his operation already, he had the scar, he was bald. He laid there very peacefully, very calm, and he just completely surrendered to you. I mean, this was incredible. And I knew by the surrendering that everything was okay, because he was not resistant. And I find that when I work with kids, a lot of kids, as a healer, when the kids are resistant, that's a sign that their soul may not want to stay here anymore.
Well, and also they've been so traumatized by the painful things that have been done to them every time they're on a table.
Absolutely. Michael was the opposite. Even though he had lots of trauma. He did. He had lots of trauma, as you were able to point out to me in our private session. There's no question about that. But his trauma that he had was the fact that, you know, his grandfather had passed away. I had been traveling to Houston, between Houston and Toronto on a weekly basis, staying in Houston for a week, 2 weeks at a time. It was difficult that we put Michael in a daycare center. You know, a lot of things happened where his whole life was just turned upside down. And all of a sudden, 4 years old, he's got brain cancer. But lying on the table, and I remember this, and I'm not going to forget this. I mean, your hands. You know, your hands, both your hands. Actually, one of the hands was about maybe an inch, 2 inches just above his belly. And what would be very incredible. I mean, this was amazing. So watch you work with Michael, and whereas you would just raise your hand, keeping in mind that your hand is not physically touching the belly, and his tummy would implode with air, and he's asleep. He has no idea what's going on. And then you would bring your hand down, and all of the air would come out of his tummy without you touching his physical. And this was, I guess, was one of the first signs that I said, there's something going on here. I don't understand it. I've never seen this before. I mean, this is incredible. And I'm just sitting there praying. I said, Lord, you know, make this happen, please. And then as you're working, you know, and mind you, you spent hours. Okay, so to be fair with the people who's listening, you spent 4 days, 5 days with them. And I want to make a comment about that. But the whole idea was the fact that you're working on Michael, and then I'm looking around the room. I'm looking around the room. What do I see? I'm saying to myself, I don't believe it. Nope, this can't be happening. I'm seeing tiny bubbles, like small air pockets of bubbles. And it's like mist. And, you know, and I told you this for the first time just very recently, but I mean, I was looking around to see if you had any sort of apparatus.
I know. You were looking for a bubble machine.
I was looking for a bubble machine, you know. I'm saying to myself, where's this bubble machine?
We have a lot of photographs, actually, of the house, and it always has this ecoplasm in it, which is, you know, angels and beings that are around us that are starting to form.
Exactly, and that's what I was witnessing with my eyes. And I'm saying, this can't be happening. I said, now, I've been around the world here. I've seen a lot of things, okay, you know, but this can't be happening. And it was happening. Michael started working with you. His stomach's doing the movement. You've got the beautiful music going, and you've got that big crystal in the room, and you've got the bubbles going. And that's when I broke down. I went, and I don't think you saw me, but I started to cry. I started to cry. And it's hard, because when you see your son on the doorstep of death, which he was, and when you see him on the doorstep of death, or anyone that's close to you, it is hard to take, particularly if you, like I, yourself, if we're highly compassionate.
Yes.
It was hard because we can feel the pain they're going through. And only for it to be a fragment of who you are is worse. It's like losing an arm or a leg, but even worse. And that's what I was thinking about. And I said, I'm going to stay strong. And you looked at me. Afterwards, we had a session privately while Michael was just busy sleeping for 4 hours. I mean, he slept for 4 hours. And you didn't have to put any sort of bar brace or anything, because I was afraid he was going to fall off the table. And you said, no, he's going to be okay. And he was okay. You know, so I felt really comfortable being with you working on Michael, because I knew the angels were there, I knew God was there, and I just prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And but one of the questions that I asked was well, is he going to be okay? You know, was he going to be, but I knew in my heart that he was going to be okay. I had very strong faith. But I needed to have the reassurance. But one of the things that you said to me was that you're only as strong as your weakest link. And I won't forget that, because you were basically saying, for Michael to make it, that not only do I have to have strong faith and know that he's going to be well, my wife also had to have that same strength, that same inner strength. And when I flew back to Toronto, I sat down with my wife, and I explained that, and she got it right away. She got it right away. So what we did from that moment on, we mutually agreed that we would not allow any of our negative thoughts of the healing enter our minds, and if it did, we would simply denounce it. We simply refused to accept that our son Michael would die. We would not accept it. And but yet, in a way, I felt that I was putting you in a spot unfairly, because in reality is we should know ourselves. The parents should know whether or not that child's going to make it. It's by them having so much faith and trust in something that we can't see that we call God, we call the Christ consciousness, whatever we want to relate to. We know that there's a knowing. It's not a belief. We know that there's a certain knowing that you have. You know that you know that you know. And with you, I knew Michael was going to be okay. I knew Michael was going to be okay. And we went for a year. He had juice in, carrot juice, celery juice, different things. But we told Michael, what we said to Michael, I said, Michael, sit down. I'm doing all this stuff, the vitamins, the wheatgrass, you name it. Michael was taking like 18 pills three times a day for a year. And I said to Michael, I said, listen, this is what's going on here. This is not going to cure you. What we're doing is we're going to get your body back to the physical, because you had some pretty bad, harmful chemicals that went into your body. And we need a year to detoxify. And we're going to do this, and we did that. But I said, Michael, do not look at these pills as to cure you. God is going to cure you. God has cured you. You don't need to worry about it. And so this was our belief. This is what we instilled.
That is beautiful. And, you know, to your credit, Brian, the other thing that you and your wife did that is so important in healing and in producing the miracles, because our show is about miracles.
Yes.
And there's a part we have to do, too, as you can see from what Brian is saying, listeners. And there is something else that he and his wife did. In that week when we were talking, we looked through every corner of life to see what in Michael's environment produced the need for the disease.
Yes.
And we found a problem with a little sibling, a little brother that was in the house where Michael had difficulty understanding certain things around it.
Yes.
They tackled the environment. Illnesses don't just happen. There either is some sort of a contract that needs to be fulfilled. In this instance, it was the pivotal point of your life.
Yes.
And, you know, we have sort of a minute left before our next break, but tell them also how it was, Brian, that your whole life turned around from that illness, because everything that death touches is empowered by it.
Yes.
Death is really a purification ritual, and we either can go through the whole thing, or we can get the message very early, which you did.
Yes, I did.
So tell them how it changed the life, too, of you and your family.
Well, you know, to speak of this, the change was drastic. It was absolutely drastic, because what we did, we looked at the family environment. And we knew that we had a sibling that was emotionally and mentally handicapped, and that this child was creating a huge imbalance, but yet looking at the perfect world, it actually was a balance. It was an offset, which I understand today. But back then, we had this one child that created so much problems. It was ongoing. It didn't let up. And Michael was affected by this individual, and he developed a lot of anger, along with the other events going on in his life. But the trigger was the fact that when he got sick, I started to look at my life, and I realized that as a merchant banker, investment banker, that I've got to get out of this life, that this was not...
It wasn't working for you.
It wasn't working for me, and I had to find a new life purpose. And it's that life purpose is what really motivated me to do what we're doing today.
And for our guests, we have just a few seconds here before our commercial break, but there's one thing that I wanted to point out. See, in the case of Brian and his family, for that matter, because the entire family changed their lives, Many people want their lives to change, but they are not prepared to change themselves. And that is when victimhood versus self-empowerment develops. Join us after this commercial break, and we'll hear how Brian developed his healing abilities in this age of miracles.
Almeen is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Almeen as you're told to guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Almeen on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic, and log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness read the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the immortal master, in addition to continued function among the masses. But as a Toltec, Nagua, and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. It is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. These sacred messages claim the true identity of mankind as light beacons of creation and the ratios back to the heart of God. Within this book, some of the mysteries of the cosmos that have plagued seers for eons have been solved for the first time. Never before in the history of any mystery schools have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the destiny of man. With every fiber of our beings and in the depth of our heart's truth, no matter how profound, can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almeen, spiritual, journeys, journeys.com, or call 502-499-0016.
Ancient source of love and light, a goddess is born to banish the night, to awaken the magic that life once held, rather than how to be pleased with the spell. The long night is over, the dawn has begun, upon the earth the goddess has come. To turn the key that turns the page and ends the darkness of a bygone age. Faun and elf insult the light, at the ending of a dark and faithless night. From every kingdom the news resounds, the goddess reigns, and joy abounds.
Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Al Mean.
And now we return again to our program of Walking Between the Worlds. And we are speaking of an age of miracles and how average people doing their daily task can turn in a moment to become very empowered and in their own way to create miraculous healings and other things that are far from what we would regard as the normal. Brian, could you share with us how you developed your gifts, my dearest?
Well, it was one week I was invited back to meet with you, a group of people, and we went through a retreat together, and along the coast of Oregon there, we were in a cave. And again, I will never forget this experience. It was fairly dark. We walked into the cave. There was very little light, and I'm sitting there, and I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, while my eyes are closed, this blue light just lights up my head. And I open up my eyes, and it's dark. I don't see. I'm trying to see if it's a reflection of someone wearing a blue sweater. No one wore a blue sweater. And so I shut my eyes, and there's that light again. Very strong. Very strong. It was there for about a minute, 3 minutes. And what was interesting is after that light had entered my body, I came out the cave, and I was in the front seat of the vehicle, and we were driving back, I believe, to your place. And all of a sudden, someone was starting to ask me questions about so-and-so, and I started to know who these people were. And I was talking about these people, which I had absolutely no knowledge about who these people were. And at first, I got a little bit scared. I wasn't sure what was going on. And it got to the point where my head became like a chatterbox. I would start to hear the vibrations, the thoughts of other people. If I went into a mall, and this only happened for 2 or 3 days until I was able to deal with it, but when I first had my gift, I would go into the mall, and I can hear the people's thoughts, the chattering, and all this stuff, and it would just drive me crazy, and I would, within 20 minutes, I would lose most of my energy. I would have to get out of the mall. And so within 3 days, I was able to just shut everything off and just deal with my gift of discernment. And so with the gift of discernment also came with the hands-on healing. It came with knowledge, wisdom.
And I remember when you said to me in Toronto, when I said, you are a healer, and you said, will you help me get this gift?
That's right.
And I said, come out to Oregon. But what was so beautiful is you said, then I can heal all those little children I saw in that cancer ward.
And this is it, and that is what really drives me, is to help the kids, to help the people. I mean, we just bought a 15-passenger van that we really want to take the kids on a trip somewhere. So we're trying to get to these kids, and hopefully one of these kids, we can convince the parents to really look at the spiritual approach also along with the conventional medicine, because a lot of them are so scared to take their kids away from conventional medicine. They don't have the comfort zone. They don't have the faith. They don't have the strength. And a lot of them have just been brainwashed to believe that conventional medicine has all the answers, which we have found out it does not. But yet it's there. And at times we do need conventional medicine. I myself, in my early 30s, if I didn't have an antibiotic, I would not be alive today. But conventional medicine, I've always said to myself, you've got to combine it with spirituality to enhance the chance of someone surviving, particularly cancer. And so with the miracles that happened, particularly in the last 8 years that I've been working as a healer, intuitive, is the fact that I have found that people who receive the miracles are the people that have that inner strength. They have the inner strength to know God and they have that inner strength to ignore the negative people around them, and they have that inner strength to realize that maybe what they're lacking in their life is a purpose, and once it's been discerned what their purpose is, many of them will actually pick up the ball and run with it and make whatever that purpose is, and they would say, okay, now I'm going to live now because this is now my new life purpose. And I've found that a lot of people who come to me that are sick, they don't know what their life purpose is. They don't know what to do. They're bored. They're tired. They're mentally abused. The list just goes on. But that life purpose, the light, that twinkling light, has somehow, the candle has just been blown away. It's been blown out. And so as healers, what our job is to do is to take that candlestick and light that light so that they can see that there is a purpose, and hopefully for them it's a divine purpose, and that they can go out and counteract their negative experiences in life and offset that by simply going out and help people.
And see, what I like about your approach, Brian, is that so many healers simply attempt to make something go away without adding the understanding that you and your wife had when Michael was in a similar situation, that it doesn't happen by accident.
No.
We are never a victim, not even of our own illnesses. And so there is a huge message behind these illnesses and diseases, and so they become truly our friend, our communication from spirit. And it is the combination of the healing that you do coupled with the counseling that you do that is so valuable. Because really a healer must also be in a position to assist, to educate.
Well, this is true. And one of the things that I look at, is there are evangelists out around the world where people are just being thrown on a stage. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please, I need to ask this question. I mean, are these people, for the most part, are they really getting healed? The answer is no. They're not really getting healed. Because in order for someone to be healed, you've got to have the explanation of why did you get ill in the first place. Someone has to have that understanding.
Yes.
And I'm working with someone right now that's on their way of being healed with Parkinson's. But we went layer after layer after layer of different issues.
Yes.
And I was told that this gentleman would not be healed unless he was told. And now, I'm gonna push some buttons here. You know, when we go into other lives here, layers of other life experiences.
Exactly.
That have baggage that they came into this world with, and some of us so foolishly believe that this is our only life, and why would such a God give us only one life experience? It just doesn't make sense unless you're on that path of spirituality and you realize that there is a classroom. You realize that there are lessons that we have to come through. You realize at the end of the day, there's no really right or wrong. It just is. And this is what I learned from you walking in a farm field in London, England, when we were in England.
I remember.
You know, you just said there's no right or wrong. It just is. And I didn't understand that, Almin, okay? Because remember, I'm a simple-minded fellow here. But it started to make sense with me because why? Because I would look at this individual who's sick, and for example, there was a woman who was assaulted 3 times, sexually assaulted. And I remember looking at her, and she had so much anger to the men who assaulted her. And I looked into her past lives, and I said, Lord, did she, in another lifetime, sexually assault someone else? And the answer came back, yes. And I sat down with her, I explained all this. It's not the fact that we're going to support the idea. We do not support any idea of a man abusing a woman. To me, when I hear that, I can't stand it. I think it's disgusting. But the whole idea on a soul level, this woman was able to heal because she understood why she came in to have that experience. She was able to forgive the attackers.
And if I may interject here just for a few minutes, we have in the past dealt with a destiny. Now that changed somewhat in August, and I write about that in my book, Ring of Truth, about the huge differences that happened in August.
Yes.
And in the final segment of our program, I wanted to speak about why Brian's method of healing is very successful and will continue to be, while some of the energy-related healing modalities will need to absolutely be tweaked to be continually successful. Something happened last August that changed this. But we recognize that if we studied past lives, that there were themes that people undertook to solve. Example, victimhood. So in some lifetimes, they would deliberately play one that produced a victim, such as in this woman's case. And in this lifetime, then they would see what it feels like to be a victim.
Yes.
And they would explore various issues of beingness from different sides till they got some answers as to what mystery they can solve with their lives of the infinite's being. In other words, exactly what Brian has said, that there are themes. So, Brian, we are running out of time here. We have a commercial break. I want to thank you so very, very much, not only for the wonderful work that you do for people tirelessly, but for making a gap in your day to speak to us. I know that you were fully booked today, and I'm most, most appreciative, my friend, and delightful to have had dinner with you and your wife recently.
Thank you.
Much love to you always, and to Michael.
Now, I mean, you know what? It is through you, you are the vessel that Christ came through you, and my son is here today. I love you, and we thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the mortal master, in addition to continued function among the masses. For the Toltec, Nagua, and Seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. It is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. These sacred messages came the true identity of mankind as light beacons of creation and the way shows back to the heart of God. Within this book, some of the mysteries of the cosmos that have plagued seers for eons have been solved for the first time. Never before in the history of any mystery schools have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the destiny of man. With every fiber of our beings and in the depth of our heart's truth, no matter how profound, can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. To receive a copy of this book, premium CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almeenjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Ancient source of love and light, a goddess is born to banish the night, to awaken the magic of life once held, rallying hearts with things to spell. The long night is over, the dawn has begun, upon the earth the goddess has come. To turn the key that turns the page and ends the darkness of a bygone age. Fawn and elf and sylph delight, at the ending of a dark and faithless night. From every kingdom the news resounds, the goddess reigns and joy abounds.
You've been walking between the worlds. Worlds with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
We have been hearing from a Toronto healer who miraculously got the gift after his son was healed of cancer. We welcome our listeners back onto a show. When the planets started to ascend in February of 2005, as many of the masters that have come on our recent shows have said to us, it was the time of the rule of the feminine, the return of the goddess. It was during the cycles of descension that the masculine-dominated rule produced the separatism that caused this great of a descension, so that we could study the mystery of beingness. But now we are in an ascension, and that ascension will never end. And thus the reign of the goddess has begun. It is a time when in my classes I see an absolute blossoming of spiritual gifts. Languages are coming. The ability to communicate with kingdoms are coming. The ability to write in these languages, to heal, to be clairvoyant, to be clairaudient. I wish to share with you something very special in this last segment, and those are the languages of the goddess herself, the infinite mother from which all life sprang. Her language is written, first of all, by Isis. And Isis wrote the hieroglyphics, and she wrote the following words. Because I want to give you the three different languages of the mother. Some of the gifts that are coming out are these languages, because whatever is spoken in these languages occur. Svarvach upres vunatvabi uklesh vastra unechspa rutvikla ubas nuntes usbarva unechstra uravavit klesh nastrava uskelech starut upresva barunes stravi. And what this is saying, it's in the words of Isis. Two goddesses, four gods, on my energy fed. Advisors they seemed, but I was misled. Just enough truth to seem sincere, but on essential points no truth would I hear. They told me that I had caused the fall, bringing suffering and misery to all. Pain seared my soul, how could it be, when I couldn't find such darkness in me? From the darklings and unicorns and fairies too, was whispered at last the tale of truth, how the fall was planned by their hearts of greed, and that they hoped to break me with their deceit. This is from the Mysteries of Isis, guarded by the Sacred Order of the White Rose in Ireland. And now I will give you the second language of the mother. When one listens to this, beloved ones, something changes. Codes of light awaken within the DNA. Peresh perukvi, amasut perenu kef uravirablish pel uvranu, sparutrevach varba uheres biklavet, spu uvatravuna bel uvravet, kliush utraviva kliuch paruna, bel uvra uvravir bish kla ustra. Velech peruchvi uravish utrava, nin hurtzparechvi ubaklesh trauva. In the words of the mother in her sacred tongue, that which is from these words have sprung. Too holy to write, too powerful to keep, this light awakens those who sleep. For that which you speak shall surely be, use them to help and set others free. From the book of life these words have come to banish the darkness, for the dawn has begun. This is an excerpt from The Ring of Truth. And in that book is given the second language of the mother, not the one that Isis used, but the second language of the mother, the alphabet. Anything that is written in her language is something that happens. It was only recently in the last month that we entered realms as the earth continued to ascend and once again encountered a language like nothing we had ever heard. And it was the language of the grand goddesses, the higher aspects of the mother that is in the realms above us in which we have moved. I shall speak this language. It comes naturally through my mouth, and then I will interpret whatever it is that has come through. The age of darkness is over. White bodies of magic are being restored. This is done that the balance be restored once more. It is time for my children once more to have hope. It is time that the darkness is over for them to know. It is time that the veils be lifted between realms, that they may converse with you and you converse with them. Ich bihir namak yakatoch neveshetanava. Istirichikiam hoto. Ich bihakia vakta ona. Those that are chosen to hear my words have been carefully selected at this time. Now I pronounce the blessing upon you through the mouth of the one who speaks. Beloved ones, in walking between the worlds, each show is different. Each one that brings their own expertise does something that we never would have expected. And thus today, we have a blessing from the Mother. We thank you for joining us, and we ask you to be with us again next week when we will speak with someone who talks with the dead. Thank you so much.